The following show is closed caption for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
All right, Jason's having a rough enough day, but I'm gonna further press him. Jason, what's the capital of Nevada? What's the capital of Nevada? It's not a sin if you don't know. It's not, you know what's going on here, right? No, it's not Las Vegas. I know, it's not a sin. I get it. Sin City, I get it. I'll give you a hint, though. It's not Sin City. It's Blank City. That's the best I can do for you. And blank is exactly what Jason is drawing here. Carson City, Nevada. Yeah, now you know. So does Miss USA, who's from Nevada. Now she knows. Did you hear about this? She's taking a lot of heat because she's not really from Nevada. Okay? But there are rules. You have to live there at least 6 months. And there's suspicion she did not. She had competed for Miss California for three straight years, 2010, 11, and 12. Nia Sanchez addressed those rumors on Fox last week, saying, "I've been there now for over a year and almost a year and a half when I competed." So it was a scotch embarrassing when during an interview with The Todd Show on 95.5 PLJ Radio New York, Sanchez was as stumped as Jason when asked, "What's the capital of Nevada?" Actually, what she said was, oh my gosh. The host of the show, Todd Pettingill, helped her out, answering, "Carson City." Okay, I don't care about beauty pageants, and it's probably pretty clear that women do carpetbag to try to get to states where they think they could be competitive and live there long enough. But even if you're going to do this, aren't you going to make sure you know the capital? I mean, really? But that's about as much time as I want to give to a beauty pageant. As you know, yesterday was Families of Children with Cancer Day One Radiothon on the show. We raised a little better than $14,000, which is certainly nothing to sneeze at. Big thank you to everybody who contributed. However, that is down just a bit from last year. So we want to do better on Friday. And anytime during the week, you can go to jerrybadershow.com and donate now. And you'll be all set. Again, it's very user-friendly. You do have to click a couple of times, but it's very user-friendly. We've got some very cool things coming up on Friday during the Radiothon to entice you to give, and they really are very cool. And we'll be telling you more about those. Also, later in the week, we will be doing some overnight hotel and restaurant stays for here in the Green Bay area. It's part of Restaurant Week, taking place the week of July 10th. Now, because yesterday was the Radiothon, we really didn't get to any topics. And I do know that other shows have taken up what I'm about to take up. I know other shows in the state have taken it. I'm aware of that. I realize I'm late on this topic. But I want to take it up nonetheless, because I think it is a fascinating one. It is a what is right and what is wrong topic where I'm not really sure what I think is right here. It is a story of scientific research, and it raises the issue of, should we do something just because we can, where science is concerned? And did this researcher at the University of Wisconsin-Madison do this just because he could, or does he make a coherent argument for why he did this? Now, I am a student of history, I know many of you are students of history. Some of you are not. 1918 is usually most notable for the end of World War I, which then was referred to as the Great War. It is also the year of the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic. It killed 50 million people worldwide. 50 million people worldwide. 50 million. Unlike other flu viruses, it doesn't go after just the infirm. It killed a lot of very healthy people. It is something you would like to forget, and you certainly wouldn't want that flu virus to be around. So what did this researcher do? Well, UW-Madison's Yoshihiro Kawaoka, I'm going to mispronounce his name, and I don't want to do that. Kawaoka, I believe, published a report last Wednesday where he details his research where they created a virus identical to the Spanish flu virus that killed 50 million people. It's nearly identical. He intentionally created this virus. This has split the scientific research and medical community in two. Why in God's name would you do this? Why would you create something that could wipe out 50 million people? The intent is to show that bird flu viruses currently circulating in nature have the same pandemic potential as the 1918 Spanish flu. So what he's trying to say is there are threats out there that are as deadly as what happened in 1918, some of these avian viruses. However, researchers around the world say that there's just no defense for what he did. The research published in the journal Cell, Host, and Microbe shows there are gene pools in nature that have the potential to cause a severe pandemic in the future, he said. He's senior author of the report, an internationally recognized authority on avian flu. They created two viruses in the lab, a 1918-like virus that differed by only 3% at the protein level from the 1918 virus, and a 1918-like virus with 7 mutations in proteins. The virus that was 97% the same at the protein level did not transmit in ferrets via respiratory droplets. That's the primary mode of flu. In other words, breathing. Spread among humans. The second virus was transmissible in that fashion. Knowing what genes to look for in circulating viruses can help predict the likelihood of an emerging strain of pandemic flu and help scientists come up with strategies to counter it, he argues. With each study, we learn more about the key features that enable an avian influenza virus to adapt to mammals and become transmissible, Kawaoka said in prepared remarks. Eventually, we hope to be able to reliably identify viruses with significant pandemic potential so we can focus preparedness efforts appropriately. That's in the journal Sentinel on Thursday. Karen Herzog. Basically, this guy's saying, look, this is preemptive. We have security protocols. We take every precaution. This thing isn't going to get out. And that we have to open this little gate to hell to try to keep it closed is essentially his argument. It is not being bought by researchers from around the country. Now, the other thing we should mention, the original Spanish flu, its origins are still largely unknown and remain puzzling, said a Centers for Disease Control and Prevention study. 75 years of research has failed to answer the most basic question about the 1918 pandemic. Why was it so fatal? the unknowns of this flu virus and others have divided the scientific community. Some researchers, this is the Washington Post, think fatal strains should be recreated for analysis. Others think such an endeavor couldn't be more dangerous. What if something goes wrong? What if an experiment accidentally unleashes a modern pandemic? The defenders of such research parry. What if an epidemic happens naturally and we find ourselves unprepared? So here's the basic argument. That there are avian flu strains out there that could do the same thing. This researcher at Madison, Kawaoka, believes to be prepared, we have to stick our head in the lion's mouth. We have to recreate that which killed 50 million people. Again, from the Washington Post. Other scientists aren't buying it. The work they are doing is absolutely crazy, Lord May, the United Kingdom's former chief science advisor, told the London Guardian. The whole thing is exceedingly dangerous. Yes, there is danger, but it's not arising from the viruses out there in animals. It's arising from the labs of grossly ambitious people. A virologist at the renowned Pasteur Institute in Paris was similarly fretful. It's madness, folly, Simon Wayne Hobson explained to The Guardian. It shows profound lack of respect for the collective decision-making process we've always shown in fighting infections. In society, the intelligent layperson understood what was going on. If they understood, they would say, "What the F are you doing?" What the F he is doing, Kawaoka claims, is trying to alert people to how easily another pandemic could occur. He said the laboratories he works with have top-notch security, and the critical researchers do not understand how highly regulated this work is. He's saying his esteemed colleagues don't understand how safe this is. This information for those making decisions about surveillance and pandemic preparedness, he explained. This is information for those making decisions, he explained. Kawaoka, ensnared in another controversy in 2012 when the American Scientific Advisory Panel said key details in a study he did on the bird flu should be censored to keep terrorists from creating a biological weapon. The panel later dropped its objections. So he has a reputation that he takes chances. Someone else that they spoke with, Mark Lipsitch, another scientist that the Post spoke with, even by conservative estimates, he said if 10 labs similar to Kawaoka's perform high-risk experiments in the next 10 years, it would run nearly a 20% risk of resulting in at least one lab-acquired infection. Lipsitch expounded on those ideas in an interview with The Guardian. I'm worried that Kawaoka's work signals a growing trend to make transmissible novel viruses willy-nilly without strong public health rationale. This is risky activity even in the safest labs. Scientists should not take such risks without strong evidence that the work could save lives, which this paper does not, that the paper that he published, does not provide. Again, this virus was developed at Madison. You have the pros and the cons. Does it make sense to replicate a virus that wiped out 50 million people in the name of making sure another one doesn't wipe out 50 million people? Or are you increasing the chances by yourself creating a virus that could wipe out 50 million people? I'm not sure I know how I feel on this. I'll get to that in a few minutes. What do you think? 406-1360. 888-455-1360. Is Kawaoka right that you've got to be willing to have these things exist so you can study them and figure out how to deal with them if an epidemic happens? Not really prevent one, but cope with one. Or is he tempting fate? 406-1360, 888-455-1360. It's 921.
Follow Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.